Now, do you hear a buzzing sound in front of your house expecting an Amazon delivery? Might not be a drone. It could be an electric van. Amazon recently put in an order for 100,000 of them with the electric automaker Rivian. Earlier today, we talked to longtime automotive journalist Micheline Maynard about the state of the electric vehicle industry and this latest development. Micheline, welcome back to Central Time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
Well, a lot of people, I think, look at electric vehicles and think cars, but it turns out there's this developing market for things like pickup trucks, delivery vans, and more. Where are we as this develops right now?
Well, I'm pretty amazed by it because this has pretty much happened under the radar. So you're starting to see electric delivery vans. And let me just say that I believe postal vehicles, you know, those little Jeeps and things driven by the postal companies, those have always been electric. Those have always plugged in. So we've had electric delivery vehicles for quite a while, but now we're starting to see them on a commercial basis. And I think that surprises people who think of, you know, Tesla and some of the other electric vehicle brands as representing what there is in EVs.
Yeah, Tesla is kind of a household word now, but there's this company I hadn't even heard of called Rivian, and all of a sudden Amazon says we want, what, 100,000 delivery vans, electric delivery vans, something like that?
I'm very intrigued by Rivian. For one thing, they're right down the road from me in Ann Arbor. They're in Plymouth, Michigan, which is about a half an hour west of Detroit. They've been around, I believe, since about 2010. They bought the old Mitsubishi plant down in Normal, Illinois. So for a little while, there was a Chrysler-Mitsubishi joint venture project employing American workers, and I think they were UAW members. So that went under, or went out of business, I should say, and Rivian bought the factory. They've been planning to introduce an electric pickup and an electric SUV, and production is supposed to start there next year. Apparently, somehow, this got on Jeff Bezos' radar at Amazon. And now they've got literally more orders than we think they can handle.
Talk about the logistical challenges here, not just, you know, designing new vehicles and building them and successfully selling them, but maintenance. They're not going to have dealerships, as I understand it, around the country and existing auto shops. This might be an alien technology to them. How do we maintain a fleet of vehicles like this?
Well, first of all, you have to plug them in. So you're talking about 100,000 electric delivery vans that will go on grids across the country. Now, people might have noticed that there are plug-in stations in a lot of parking lots and parking structures and on the college campuses. So it isn't an alien thing anymore to see a plug-in for an electric vehicle, but this is a lot of vehicles. So they're going to have charging stations. And, you know, with the Amazon folks, they've been using the U.S. Post Office. They've been using FedEx. They've been using just independent contractors. I was on their website the other day, and they're very actively looking for delivery drivers. So will the people who work for Amazon as delivery drivers have to have a charger at home? Those are all questions that we don't know the answer to, but you can say that 100,000 vehicles joining the electrical grid could be a challenge in parts of the country where the grid is under pressure.
Rivian is its own startup, but I understand Ford is an investor in Rivian as well. So it's this hybrid new company, old company sort of situation?
Kind of. Ford put about $500 million into Rivian, and Rivian has been very successful in raising money. They've had $1.5 billion of investment over the last couple of years. So this seems to be the project that everyone is looking at as the one that could make it. And I think Tesla would say, well, look at us. But, you know, Tesla's had all kinds of challenges through the years in getting its vehicles out the door, having smooth production and making money. So Rivian might be the one that learns from what's happened to Tesla and goes forward, but in a commercial, more of a commercial sense. I have to say the pickups and SUVs will be focused on consumers, but it might be commercial vehicles where they really become successful.
We are talking about the latest in electric vehicles, including electric delivery vans, with Micheline Maynard, longtime reporter covering the auto industry. How much of the electrical vehicle market is coming from startups, newer companies like Rivian, versus auto companies that we've heard of that have been in the auto business for a lot of years?
Well, the electric vehicles that people probably know are Tesla, Nissan, General Motors, BMW has done some work with electrics. Toyota has done some work with electrics. But in terms of cracking the retail market, it's been GM, Nissan, and Tesla. So when people start to see these Rivian Amazon delivery vehicles running around, it may wake them up a little bit to electric vehicles, assuming that there aren't the Teslas and the others in their markets.
Rivian is getting a lot of attention now. Are there other companies out there trying to crack this pickup truck van delivery market?
It's interesting because there were more companies that were looking into it because there were federal tax credits available, and the Obama administration was very aggressive in trying to push investments in electric vehicles, but the Trump administration has not been as aggressive in that. There's a company called Cox Automotive that I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it outside the auto industry, but they put $350 million into Rivian, and this is a big name in logistics. And I don't think you can turn all these electric vehicles out onto the street without, you know, some thought behind it. The other thing that Rivian is doing is it's looking at self-driving vehicles. It's trying to design platforms so you can drive them right-hand, left-hand drive, and then eventually self-driving. But I think self-driving is not going to come on quite as fast as some people were expecting. And we're likely to see more EVs first and more assisted driving vehicles later on.
You mentioned that Rivian is down the street from you. Further down the street is the Henry Ford Museum, where you can read long, long lists of automakers that lived and died in the early days of the industry. Are we there again with a lot of companies that are trying to tap this electric market and maybe a few will survive to tell the tale?
When I was a little girl, my town used to have a 4th of July parade, and there would always be an electric vehicle from the 1900s, not anything like an EV1 or anything like that, but electric vehicles and a steam-powered vehicle, a Stanley steamer. Mm-hmm. And so I do remember seeing these on the streets when I was a very little girl. So now I think it's fascinating to watch because clearly there's kind of a tacit understanding that the internal combustion engine will not be the only thing powering cars going into the future. I happen to own a Prius, and it's 10 years old now, but I'm still getting 50 miles to the gallon from it, you know, with battery and gasoline power. So it took about 20 years for the Prius to become a household name. We're maybe 5 years into the electric vehicle wave of this century. But if we did this interview again in 2030 or 2035, we might be talking about, hey, we're seeing electric vehicles everywhere. How did that happen?
You mentioned that Rivian was maybe learning from some of the pratfalls of Tesla over the years. How so? What are the things that they're doing differently that might, by 2030, make them a success story?
One of the things that Tesla did was it went very high in the market. It went into luxury vehicles first. So the original Tesla sedan, not the Model S and certainly not the current Model 3, the first Tesla was extremely expensive. I think it was over $100,000. Now, the first Rivians that people can buy are not going to be cheap either. I think the SUV is going to cost about $72,000 and the pickup will cost $69,000. So those are not cheap, but they're not $100,000 vehicles. So I think what they've learned is they're starting where the Model S did. So they're starting a level down from where Tesla started. They've certainly are looking at volume. So this factory down in Normal, Illinois is supposed to have a capacity of 200,000 vehicles and I think 1,000 employees. That's pretty aggressive for an electric vehicle manufacturer at this point in time. I mean, that's the size of a regular assembly plant. Of course, it was a regular assembly plant. So they're looking at volume. They're looking at a price that's sort of accessible. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a $72,000 electric SUV, but there might be somebody who goes and leases one, and that would be probably the way a lot of people will go into the market. And they've got money. And I think this is just one of the things that happens to all startups, is that people get a fantastic idea, they get some seed funding, but then when they go out to grow, they don't have that big influx of cash that they need. And it sounds like Rivian has a business plan, it has investors, it has products, you know, it has all the things that look really good on paper. Now we just have to see them build some.
We've been talking about production of electric vehicles here in the United States. When I hear about industries like solar panels and wind turbines, I hear often that there are other countries that are out ahead of us in that kind of production. Are there other countries around the globe that you're watching that are maybe doing better or on a pace with the U.S. in electric vehicles?
Yes, I watch other countries all the time because it's easier, you know, and people are saying, oh, why can't we be like Denmark and why can't we be like Finland and whatever? We're a heck of a big country. You know, you might get it in a state. You might get it in Minnesota. You might get it in Michigan or Connecticut. But we're not going to have these national waves the way you see them in places like Denmark, where bicycles are probably the preferred choice to automobiles. And Israel has talked about only allowing electric vehicles in the future. France is cracking down on diesel vehicles. You have these days in Paris where there's no traffic on the Champs-Élysées and you can only walk or bike or scooter or whatever. Latin American countries are looking at it. Asian countries are looking at it. And so I think everywhere around the world, the seed has been planted for alternatives to traditional cars and trucks. We're just such a big country that it's going to happen almost anecdotally versus sweeping the country. But that's how trends start in the United States. They might start in St. Paul and then spread to Kansas City and go down to Austin and show up in New Orleans. And then all of a sudden, you've got dots on a map that you can almost connect. So I don't discount the possibility of more EVs at all. I think that it may take community efforts. It may take a city like Ann Arbor buying 10,000 of these electric vehicles, or, you know, Mankato buying 5,000 of them, or Milwaukee saying we're only going to allow electric vehicles on 4 streets downtown. And that's how these trends get started.
Mickey, thanks a lot for joining us again.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Micheline Maynard, automotive business and food writer. She's also a lecturer in journalism at the University of Michigan. We talked to her today about the electric vehicle market and the startup company Rivian.